Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance and available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers, and at huntworthgear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and Waupaca, Wisconsin. They are the highest-rated hearing health care clinic in Wisconsin. ProfHearingCare.com is their website. I'm Dan Small. Today, we'll get a Lake Superior sailing report, learn about more antique fishing lures, and catch up with deer hunting celeb Melissa Bachman. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit HUPY.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm is off this week. He's running two walleye tournaments in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, so I'm flying solo again. Jeff should be back next week, and we'll get a report on those tournaments and find out what else he's been up to. Well, if you're counting, this is week 30 of 2026. Summer fishing's in full swing. Last week's heat and humidity has finally left us for now. Whitetail bucks are sporting their new racks, still in velvet, but almost fully developed. And a lot of folks are looking ahead to bow and crossbow season. And if you missed Huntstock Midwest last weekend, put it on your calendar for next year. The promoters have already booked the Dodge County Fairgrounds for the same weekend in 2027, July 16th through the 18th. It was a good show, but very hot and humid. Plus, the Canadian wildfire smoke made it pretty uncomfortable on Friday and Sunday. They gave away a lot of door prizes. They had some wild game food for sale. And people came from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, and other states, including one couple from Florida, to enjoy the show. And speaking of deer, Wisconsin free farmland zone antlerless tags are now available. You can select yours when you buy your license. If you already have your deer license, well, you can go online or visit any license agent and select a tag or number of tags for the farmland zone deer management unit you plan to hunt. You can make separate selections for your gun and bow or crossbow licenses. For more information, visit the DNR website, your Go Wild account, or any licensing agent. Remember, the deadline to apply for a bobcat or fisher permit is coming up. It's August 1. Visit the DNR website or your Go Wild account for details. Coming up, sailboat captain John Small reports on Lake Superior sailing adventures. Author Chris Slusar returns to share more of the history of Wisconsin's fishing lures, and guest host Rob Dreeslein interviews TV hunting celebrity Melissa Bachman. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Your hunt starts with healthy wetlands and the habitats that support them. From the Alaskan wilderness to the Atlantic Flyway, across America's Great Plains and down the Mississippi Delta, Ducks Unlimited has protected and restored habitat for nearly 90 years. We need your help to reach our next million-acre milestone and ensure waterfowl for generations to come. Whether you're selling tickets, securing donations, or finding that next sponsor, there's a role for everyone. Join today at ducks.org/volunteer. Ducks Unlimited. Conservation for a continent.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
You don't hunt ducks because it's easy. You hunt because it's earned. When the first flock locks up over the decoys, that's why you do it. This July 24th through the 26th, the Grind meets its tribe in Des Moines. The Delta Waterfowl Duck Hunters Expo presented by Hevy. 3 days, nothing but waterfowl, gear, proven rigs, calling competitions, real strategy, no fluff. Get your tickets now at deltawaterfowlexpo.com. Duck season doesn't start in October. It starts here.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from Bayfield for a Lake Superior sailing report is my son and our Northwoods correspondent, Captain Jonathan Small. He's a sailboat captain with All Hands Sailing, and their website is allhandssailing.org. John, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You've been on the water quite a bit this summer.
Yeah, I'm just on my first day off after 9 days of straight sailing.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Now, we're recording this early. We're recording this in mid-July, but you sailed on the 4th of July weekend?
I did. I sailed on the 4th, actually.
What was that?
Oh, it was just a regular client trip. Had two couples, and one with kids, and another couple from Eau Claire who came out on a discovery sail, which is a 5.5-hour sail into Apostle Islands, and we did some sea cave spelunking.
Oh, really? How do you do that?
Yeah. Typically, on our longer sails, we tow a dinghy behind the sailboat, and there are some smaller caves within reach from Bayfield that we can anchor in front of and go and explore.
So you anchor the boat, get in the dinghy, the rubber raft, like a Zodiac?
Yeah, it's like a Zodiac. It's like a rib. It's a hard bottom raft with inflatable sides, and it seats six.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you paddle that, or you got a motor on it?
No, we paddle it. Yeah, we anchor close enough where paddling isn't an issue.
Okay. And you go right up in the caves?
Yeah, there's one that's close to Bayfield. It's really a narrow entrance, like low overhang, and so we all kind of have to duck inside the boat and pull ourselves in by hand, but then it opens up quite big where we can sit up on the inside and look out at the boat on the water, look at what kind of debris has settled in the cave over the winter, and also get a good idea of how sandstone erosion happens, because you can see the flaking and the cleavage of the sandstone inside the cave where it has eroded and where it continues to erode.
So if you touch that stuff, you have to pull yourself in. Do you actually feel it crumble in your hand?
Well, if you pull on it, it'll crumble, and I advise people not to do that since we are beneath it. But yeah, you can see it flaking off. It cleaves very like straight lines. water will get into those cracks, and then as it freezes, it expands and breaks off.
Wow. And these are the same caves that people visit some winters when they're open, these Apostle Islands ice caves.
Yeah, so the one, you know, that we sail to on a day trip is not those. Those are on the other side of the peninsula. But it's the same formation, same sandstone formation, and I think more exciting in some cases because you're in there and the waves and the water's moving, and it makes quite an interesting sound as a wave crashes into the cave in the hollow of space. It echoes. It's a lot of fun. When I have kids, they're always, are we going to die?
Yeah.
No one's died yet.
Yeah.
It's a bit intimidating at first, but Everybody seems to enjoy it.
It's safe to do?
Yeah, I've done it dozens of times now.
Okay. Yeah. Now, of course, you have to have the right conditions to do it.
Yeah, we can't go in there when there are big waves. We have to be mindful of the cruise service that does like to buzz that cave and kicks up a big wake. But I'm pretty aware of their schedule. And if we just wait for them to be gone, it's no problem.
Yeah, okay. You also cater to a summer camp or several summer camps, right?
Yeah, we do. We take kids sailing for multi-day trips in the Apostle Islands and beyond. Typically, as a captain, I will get a crew of five or six teenagers and their counselor, and they spend the first night in the boat on the dock. I board them. I show them where to sleep, how the toilet works. Here's the kitchen. They spend the night, and then the next morning, I join them and go over how to sail the boat. My goal as a captain is to do as little as possible, and so right away I teach them how to use the winches to manage the sails, how to deal with the anchor, how to steer the boat, and how to look at the windex or the weather vane on top of the mast to know when we're in and out of the wind. And I get them doing all the things we need to do to sail as fast as possible. The last trip I did, it was a four-night trip, so we spent three nights on the water, the first night they spent on the dock. And by the second day, the kids were basically sailing the boat by themselves. And on the third day, I was like, here you go, guys. You know what to do. I've seen you do everything. Where are we going? How are we getting there? And all I do is basically stop them if they're going to do something dangerous. So really the only brakes I had to put on was we were coming around a sandy point and we were a bit shallow. But other than that, they managed to sail us from Rocky Island down to Stockton Island without any intervention from myself.
Wow. How old are these kids?
The age range was 13 to 16 on this trip, and it was co-ed.
Oh, okay. With a counselor.
With a counselor who was, I think, 23.
Yeah, okay. I assume they enjoyed it.
Oh, they had a blast, yeah. It's a great time, and, you know, it gives them a lot of agency. And it's fun to see the look on their face when they realize they're sailing and steering what's about a 40-foot-long boat. This was a 38.5-foot boat, and you got a 13-year-old girl driving it, and I'm just sitting in the back making sure they do it safely.
Wow. So how does this experience fit into their summer camp life?
As I understand it, that's like an elective on-trail outing from the camp. I think these kids are there for anywhere from 2 to 6 or 8 weeks even. And this is an adventure that they can qualify for by learning to sail on small boats on an inland lake. I think 13 is the cutoff. From what I understand, the camps go as young as like 7 or 8 years old. But I believe they have to qualify for the trip and then, of course, pay for it.
And you had another trip earlier with all boys.
I did, yeah. These kids knew how to sail already. So day one, we were out of the harbor. They were doing everything. We had a lot of fun. That trip, unfortunately, didn't have as much wind as we did on this last trip. But we still had a good time. We made it out to Devil's Island. We made it to Outer Island. And in just 2 days.
Okay. Now, when you're out there for multiple days, where do you tie up for the night, or do you anchor off an island? How do you do that?
Exactly. We anchor off an island, and we listen to the weather radio. We look at our chart, and we determine which direction the wind is forecasted to come from, and anchor in a sheltered area. I mean, I have things in my pocket that I know will be safe. But I do my best to allow them to pick the spot based on what they want to do and what they forecasts will be any issues, you know. So if we know the wind's coming out of the northeast, I suggest that we camp on the other side of an island from the wind.
Yeah. Have you had any exciting adventures on those trips?
Exciting as in fun, yes. Exciting as in scary and dangerous sometimes. We had quite a bit of wind 2 days ago. This is the day when, you know, the kids are sailing the boat by themselves, and there had been a radio forecast for a gust front of 40 knot winds. I believe that was further out into the lake, but, you know, I had that in my mind. And we had a good 18 to 20 knot breeze. And I just kept looking over my shoulder, like, you know, watching for a white line on the water that would suggest that we were, there was more behind it. And I was a bit nervous. You know, these kids are running the boat and I'm just there on the deck making sure that we're not going to get knocked over by too much wind. I don't think they were aware of my stress. I tried to keep it calm and we were flying. We were going 8 knots in the 38 foot boat.
Is that fast for a boat that size?
It's fast, yeah. I think the hull speed on the boat is just over 8. So we were going about as fast as the boat can go without extra propulsion like a motor.
Wow. So other than listening to a marine forecast and looking for that white line of wind coming at you, what can you do to anticipate a stronger wind?
Well, we can always use technology. On this last trip, I had broken my phone, so I did not have that. It was a good exercise to just use the marine radio and then look at the clouds, look at the sky, look for anything coming.
So you take private groups as well, and you mentioned that you had a couple of families join you on a recent trip. How can someone sail with you?
Oh, it's easy. You just go to allhandssailing.org. There's a button right in the middle. It says plan my trip. And there are a variety of options. Our shortest sail is 2.25 hours just outside of Bayfield. And we sail around in between Madeline, Basswood, and Long Islands. And then it goes up from there up to multi-day, multi-island overnight experiences.
And are there openings available?
Yes, there are. If you go to the website and select the trip you want, you will see on the calendar it's available.
Yeah, cool. Well, John, that's exciting, and I've sailed with you only once, and you and I need to do some fishing, but I'd like to get out sailing again sometime, maybe this summer, if I can get up there. So thanks so much for this report, and we will keep in touch.
Oh, yeah, thanks. And I haven't worked out a way to troll behind a sailboat yet. I think we just go too fast.
Well, it's something to think about anyway. All right, Jonathan Small, Captain John Small, with All Hands Sailing, reporting on sailing adventures on Lake Superior. Allhandssailing.org is their website. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. You're listening to Outdoors Radio. I'm Rob Gerisline. Hey, we are getting into the middle of summer. We're starting to bear down on hunting seasons, particularly deer hunting seasons. Everyone looks forward to that across the upper Midwest. And it's a great opportunity to check in with my old friend. She's not as old as me, but I've known her a long time. Melissa Bachman, host of Winchester's Deadly Passion. She's got a great seminar tour coming up here. The Fleet Farm Seminar Tour runs August 10th to August 15th. And I thought that'd be a great time to check in with her and talk a little deer hunting. Melissa, it's great to see you. How are you and your family doing?
Everybody's doing great. Great to hear and talk to you again, Rob, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I look forward to talking to you a couple times a year. My daughter always likes meeting you at the Deer Classic or some of the other shows at your event. You're great with kids, and it's fun to watch young people respond to you. Like I say, you've got this Fleet Farm Seminar Tour going on next month, August 10th to the 15th. You got, I think, 3 stops in Minnesota, 4 stops in Wisconsin, one in Iowa, and one in South Dakota. You've got a really full agenda, and I'm just kind of looking at some of the things you're going to be talking about. One thing is trail cameras. This is really a great time to get out and mess around with trail cameras, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. In fact, most of our day today, we've been getting trail cameras ready, and you know, bucks are really starting to see that kind of final growth, and for kids, they love going out and helping with that. And that's one of the things I like talking about in these seminars is not only ways to make you a better hunter, but ways to get your entire family involved. And I think trail cameras are just so much fun for everybody involved. It's the best way to kind of kick off hunting season, in my opinion.
Can you give us a couple of, you know, quick trail camera tactics? You know, how do you deploy them without leaving a lot of scent, especially if you're getting the family involved? I mean, it's great. It's important to get the family involved, but how do you reconcile, you know, those two concerns?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we like to do is we put rubber boots usually on everybody, and then we spray down with Scent Killer Gold before going out into the field. And you've got your trail cameras. What we want to do is kind of minimize that time in the field, especially if you're bringing kids. There's a lot of talking. You try to keep people quiet. So we already have our batteries in. We have the cards in. We check them at home to make sure that there's no issues. And then we have a plan as to where we want to go. One of the big things we do is even when we're turkey hunting, when we're scouting, we're marking spots on our Hunt Stand app or whatever app you're using as to where we want those trail cameras. So we're not going out blind. We have a pretty good idea. We have everything ready. And a lot of it's just about being prepared and, you know, finding ways to get the most pictures in front of your camera, whether that be water sources, rub posts, licking branches, whether you're putting scent out if it's legal, different things that you can do to get as many pictures in front of your camera as possible.
And of course, the end goal isn't just to get great pictures on your trail camera. Those are fun. Those are great. We all enjoy good pictures. But ultimately, we want this to help improve our success this fall. You know, one of the bullet points on your seminar schedule is proven strategies to attract more deer to your setup. Of course, there's illegal ways to do that we want to discourage people from doing, but there's legal ways that you can bring deer closer to where you're hunting.
Yeah, you know, that's something I've really enjoyed, and we have really found that the power of water is so huge. Even if you have water on your property, if you're giving those deer a place to water where they feel comfortable, it can be huge. We like putting a rub post there. People underestimate the options of rub posts, licking branches, making mock scrapes out in the field, and having that ready, because what it does, not only does the water bring does in, but then it brings bucks. And then all of a sudden you're creating kind of a little social network right in that area where the bucks want to come. They want to check everything out. And not only do you get great pictures, but again, if you're hunting, you have them in front of your stand for longer periods of time. It gives you a chance to kind of calm your nerves, maybe put your sandwich or your phone down and get ready to take that shot. So that's always the things that I'm trying to do, is draw them in and keep them there and keep them comfortable. And I love decoying. I cover decoying. I cover rattling. I love using different tactics to bring them in and keep them in longer.
Melissa, you've been doing your seminar tour, this one, for several years, and of course you've been a regular attendee and seminar speaker at deer shows around the country for a long time. What are some of the most common questions that you get, and what are some of your answers to those questions?
You know, I think one of the most common things people look at is, okay, so maybe I was taught this way. I've never tried decoying, for example, or I've done it and, you know, a couple does got spooked off. What am I doing wrong? And so much of this is learning and adapting as you go. And what I always try to tell people is what works in one area doesn't always work the next area. Also, what works one day doesn't always work the next day. So you have to learn, and you really have to watch deer. I believe one of the reasons I've become so successful is because I spend so much time in the field. I'm out there almost every single day during the rut. I'm watching what those bucks are doing, and you can learn a lot from that. Watch their mannerisms. Watch what happens right before a fight. And for example, when I have a decoy out, I like to do a little bit of calling. I'll do a couple soft grunts, maybe a snort wheeze, but the cadence that I use is exactly what I've seen in nature. I'll have two different grunt tubes, so it sounds like two different bucks. Then I'll do a snort wheeze just simply with my mouth, and a lot of times that's telling the other buck, you better back off right now or there's going to be a fight. After that, hit those rattling antlers together, and again, try to make it realistic. And you can't be doing that every like 3 minutes. Sometimes people overdo it. They want it so bad. But again, you just need to be patient. You need to wait, and you need to watch and adapt. I think that's probably one of the most important things you can do as a hunter.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio. I'm Rob Gerisline. We are chatting with Melissa Bachman. She's the host of Winchester's Deadly Passion. You can catch that on the Sportsman's Channel year round. She's also kicking off her Fleet Farm Seminar Tour. It runs August 10th to the 15th. It's going to be from St. Cloud to Appleton, Wisconsin, back to Rapid City, South Dakota. Melissa, where can folks find more information? Where can they see the specific dates, when and where you will be at these different Fleet Farm stores?
If you go to melissabachman.com, I'll have a graphic right on that front page that tells you the times, the dates. And what's neat is I'm really traveling all across the Midwest in just a short period of time. Yeah. I'm going to 2 a day. I really look forward to it. I love talking with people. I love meeting people. I love sharing stories, and I learn from people as well. So it kind of becomes a wealth of knowledge over the years of things you learn from others. You go try it yourself. I love just learning from everyone and getting to talk to everyone as well.
All attendees will be registered to win a huge prize package at each of the stores. Is that correct?
Yes. So every store I go to, I gather up all my favorite products. It'll be worth over $1,000, and someone sitting in that seminar will win that huge gift basket. And you know, it's really neat because a lot of those items, they're what I'm talking about. They're things I use, and one lucky winner literally walks away with an entire cart full of free stuff, and all attendees will get a gift basket, and they will get different products. I have Wildlife Research Center laundry strips. I have No Zone Scent Spray. I have all sorts of neat little things for everybody just for coming. But one lucky attendee at each seminar will walk away with a giant gift basket as well. Come for the seminar, leave with free gear. It's a win-win situation.
It looks like you're spending a fair amount of time talking about processing your own game. That's clearly something you probably engage in. Are you finding more interest in that among the rank and file hunters out there?
Yeah, you know, that's something that I really see people being more and more interested in, even people who don't hunt. I'm finding hunters who say, you know, I have a neighbor, they don't hunt, but they ask me to bring them a deer each year because they want to process their own meat. More and more people are finding out what's in our food. They want to have that close experience. And it's something as a family we've really started to do. You know, I'll be honest, when I first started, a lot of times I would just bring meat to the processor and we'd get it back, no big deal. And it almost seems like a daunting task to start processing your own game. But what I found is once you kind of ease into it, we started off with a grinder, you really find out that it's not that hard. It's very easy. And there's so much satisfaction in taking it all the way through, knowing exactly what's in that meat and then making it. And our kids love it too. Jax and Bella, we've got an LEM, a MaxVac Go. That's a little vacuum sealer that you can bring anywhere. They're out there. They're doing that. They're writing on our packages. There may be some packages that have lots of scribbles. You may not know what's actually inside, but I love having the kids be a part of that. And now we've started making sausage. We make burger. We make all kinds of different things. So that'll be one of the topics of the seminar, and one of the things in the gift basket is actually one of LEM's MaxVac Go. It's a little portable vacuum sealer. So I try to find things that are, you know, really useful for people to win and to be able to put to use in their regular life.
So Melissa, you've got some real strong bullet points at all of your seminars, but you do save some time to take questions also. Folks come to you with a lot of questions, and they'll get the opportunity to pitch those to you.
Absolutely. I love doing Q&A sessions because there's things that maybe you haven't thought of, or if you see the same questions time and time again, I'll try to incorporate those in. But I love leaving some time for people who just have some questions, who's always wanted to ask. I'm right there. I'm open to whatever questions people may have. No such thing as a dumb question.
It's the 2026 Fleet Farm Seminar Tour. It starts August 10th in St. Cloud. It wraps up August 15th in Rapid City. There'll be stops in Wisconsin and Iowa in between. If you want to see the complete list of dates and times, go to melissabachman.com. Melissa, thanks for all you do to promote hunting and get out there and work and advocate and make us all improved, better hunters on the landscape.
Well, thank you for having me. I sure appreciate it, and I look forward to meeting everybody.
MelissaBachman.com for all those details. And don't forget, check out her show, Winchester Deadly Passion, on the Sportsman's Channel.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Hey everyone, it's Melissa Bachman from Winchester Deadly Passion, and I'm excited to invite you to my Fleet Farm Seminar Tour. This year, I'm going to be making 10 stops across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and South Dakota. Join me for a seminar packed with proven deer hunting tactics like rattling, decoying, and even a live Q&A where you can ask anything. Every attendee will be entered to win an incredible prize package worth over $1,000. Visit melissabachman.com for tour dates, locations, and more details.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. With a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
There are lakes across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and beyond that are loaded with fish. And nobody's talking about them. Onyx Fish helps you find them. Search by species, filter for big walleye, trophy panfish, or eater crappies. Check satellite imagery, depth maps, and public access points, all before you leave the house. And now, Onyx Fish is available on Android for the first time. iPhone, Android, doesn't matter. Just download it and start planning. 7-day free trial, then just $35 a year. Onyx Fish. Find new lakes, get there with confidence.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking with Chris Slusar. He's an historian and a fishing lure collector and the author of a book called Early Wisconsin Fishing Lures, Hooks, and Harnesses, An Illustrated History of Wisconsin Fishing Lures and Their Makers. And history is a key word here. And Chris joins us again now for the third time to talk about this book. Chris, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I look forward to connecting with you and your audience.
You know, a lot of us come across lures at garage sales or when Grandpa or Uncle Joe dies and somebody hands us a metal tackle box and we find some treasures in there. Are there still lures to be found that have great value that maybe just haven't surfaced because nobody dug them out of the attic for years?
Good question, Dan. In the collector community, the collecting of fishing tackle, generally speaking, really took off in the 1970s. So as you can imagine, it's been decades since and lots of different items have come out of garages and attics and, you know, deep in the recesses of basements. Is there stuff still out there? Absolutely. I'm surprised sometimes when I attend some of these fishing tackle shows, collectible fishing tackle shows, what shows up from the general public. Some neat things are still out there, still tucked away. And I'll tell you what, I look forward to see what pops up at every tackle show I go to because I'm surprised at nearly everyone.
How can someone learn about these tackle shows?
A good place to start is to look into an organization called the National Fishing Tackle Collectors Club. I happen to be the president of the club now, and we have some 2,500 members across the country and outside of the U.S. We sponsor nearly 20 shows across the country, and the membership, generally speaking, is happy to help folks identify what they've got and help them understand the background and history. And, of course, if anyone has any specific questions about the club or collecting in general, they can certainly reach me.
All right. Well, Chris, we talked about history and influences, and I want to ask you about the Native American influence, specifically on jerkbaits, but just on musky baits in general. The Ojibwa people were here long before our ancestors came, our European-based ancestors. They were spearing, but they were also catching fish with hook and line, especially in the last century, and there were some pretty well-known guides. Ernie St. Germain is one you spend a fair amount of time on in your book. Tell us about Ernie.
Ernie had a very interesting history. He grew up in northern Wisconsin. He'd been abandoned as a child and gravitated into fishing, not only to make a living, but, you know, just basic sustenance. Needed to fish to eat. So he learned to be an excellent guide and was well known in the Northwoods for his guiding prowess. But Native Americans, generally speaking, the Chippewa bands in northern Wisconsin specifically, were well known for their lures and especially musky baits. And lots of stories about the Native Americans from some of the early guides that discussed how they actually used the lures that they put together. Their lures were often, as you might guess, a little crude in nature, but their designs were effective. But many of their designs no doubt influenced the jerkbaits that we know today, including Tuwik and Bobbybait. I actually cover the Ojibwe bands in my book and got some interesting photographs in there, and you'll certainly see some resemblance to better known baits that were produced in the state.
And some produced outside the state. Ernie St. Germain made a flatfish-style lure. Did that predate the Helen flatfish?
No, I don't think that it preceded necessarily, but there was certainly creativity involved in the manufacture of his bait. At that point, a lot of Native Americans and, frankly, a lot of fishermen, generally speaking, were making their own baits. They didn't always buy them. You know, whether or not the flatfish specifically influenced St. Germain is not a question I can answer.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about Stevens Point and fly tying. There are a couple of companies that come to mind, Weber and Worth, but there were others, and there may still be others that are active. What made Stevens Point such a hub of this kind of lure making?
That's a, yeah, interesting story, Dan. The origins of fly tying in the Stevens Point area go back to the late 1800s. The person that's most tied to those early years is a gal by the name of Carrie Frost. Carrie Frost began tying flies at the request of her father. Her dad was a fly fisherman, and at that time, most of the flies that were used in the country were imported. His flies didn't arrive, and Carrie raised her hand to say, "Hey, Dad, I can make these flies." And soon she was tying flies, and she did them so well that she not only made her dad quite happy, but his fishing partners wanted to use the same flies, so she made them for them as well. Soon a business grew, and Carrie's a very interesting person at a time when she could not vote, could not even own certain property. She built a lure business and became quite well known in the Stevens Point area. The creation of that business gave rise to other fly tying groups and businesses in Stevens Point, and eventually what became known as the fly tying capital of America and even the world emerged. Fly tying was the basis for many, many businesses in the Stevens Point area during the 1920s into the 1930s and even the early 1940s. At one point, fly tying groups and organizations were the largest employers in the area. Shortly after World War II, fly tying and fly fishing, just generally speaking, was replaced a bit by spin fishing, which was a technology that was imported from Europe. The GIs returning from World War II brought that to the U.S., and in some part it led to a decrease in fly tying in the United States and fly fishing, just generally speaking.
Yeah, fascinating story. Well, do you have a favorite story or a favorite character or lure that you cover in your 700 pages, Chris?
Well, I have to say, that's like asking me which is my favorite kid.
Right.
But I have a lot of favorites, but I have to say that the very cover of my book is graced with a lure called the Chippewa. It was designed and produced by a fellow by the name of Omer Immel out of Blair, Wisconsin. It was manufactured between 1913 and 1915, so not for very long time. The lure has a lot of character. It's got a wooden body with a wire frame around it and an internal spinner. Very complicated bait that was made for a relatively short period of time. A lot of eye appeal, at least for me, and I truly enjoy the pieces and have many in my collection today. So, Dan, if I had to pick just one, that would probably be it. It would be the Chippewa out of Blair, Wisconsin.
And the dude on the back cover of your book, is that Omer himself?
That is. That's Omer Immel, a fairly rare picture taken from a postcard. It's a picture of Omer and a muskie that he caught on his Chippewa, which is dangling out of the fish's mouth. Neat piece of history there.
Yeah, it is. When you compare that with photos that we take today, especially if we're trying to promote a particular lure, you've got everything there. You got the angler, the rod, which is all of 4.5 or 5 feet long with 3 guides only. And the lure hanging out of the fish's mouth, and he's dressed in, I guess that's the fishing garb of the time. Today we'd have a hoodie and sunglasses and a ball cap, but he's wearing a bowler, and he's got a coat and tie, and he's wearing an overcoat. This must have been a fall fish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wondered that myself, or did he just get dressed up for the picture? Yeah, he was obviously quite proud of the muskie he caught on his bait, but a very interesting individual himself. I covered some of the details of his life in the book as well. He's quite an ambitious and inventive person.
And those of us who photograph fish for a living now, or just to put on our Facebook page, can relate. Oh, I got to put this hat on. Take your sunglasses off so I can see your eyes. Hold the fish. Make sure you can see the bait. He's doing all of that more than 100 years ago with a deadpan straight face that is just really funny. I would love that photo.
Yeah. Nowadays, if we caught a muskie like that, we'd have probably a big smile on our face. And back in those days, not many of the fishermen smiled. Not sure why that was.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure talking with you about your book and about the history of Wisconsin fishing lures. And I hope people have enjoyed it, and I hope people will buy the book. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. I so much appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and with your listeners. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. What's the title that you have now?
I'm president of the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club, a national organization, some 2,500 members dedicated to fostering fishing tackle collecting as a hobby, and happy to help people if they have questions or are interested in collecting. Just reach me at wisconsinlures@gmail.com.
Got it. Chris Slusar is the author of this book we've been talking about, Early Wisconsin Fishing Lures, Hooks and Harnesses, An Illustrated History of Wisconsin Fishing Lures and Their Makers. The book is available from littlecreekpress.com, and you can reach Chris directly at wisconsinlures@gmail.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, 7 wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. With a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing, Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. By Crestliner Boats at Crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at MercuryMarine.com. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance and available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers and online at HuntworthGear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Waupaca. profhearingcare.com. Huntworth has a new line of fishing shirts called Angler. They're so new they're not even on their website yet, but you can check them out at Blaine's Farm and Fleet stores. Last week I shot a short video for Angler at the Farm and Fleet store in Watertown and posted it on my Facebook page. Check it out. Meanwhile, if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at MilwaukeePBS.org. And my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special is archived on YouTube at Deer Hunt Wisconsin. And if you missed any dates, websites, or phone numbers we mentioned, you can always listen to the full show again at lake-link.com/radio. And you can subscribe to our podcast or download episodes going back a year or so. Our show is also available as a podcast on other platforms, including the Outdoor News website, outdoornews.com. We're all over social media. You can find us at Hardwater Jeff and Dan Small Outdoors. Mercury has a couple of nifty promotions going on now. The Avatar Electric 7.5E engines are eligible for a $500 rebate and a 5-year factory warranty through August 31st. And all active, honorably discharged, and retired U.S. service members, as well as immediate family of service members killed in military conflict, can save up to $3,250 instantly on select outboards. Ask your Mercury dealer for details. Hey, have you heard of National Night Out? It's an annual community-building campaign that promotes police-community partnerships. EMTs, fire and rescue, healthcare, safety, and neighborhood camaraderie as well. The event is primarily held on the first Tuesday of August. Communities nationwide host events to foster safe environments and connect residents directly with local law enforcement. The program is designed to increase awareness about anti-crime efforts, give residents and local authorities a chance to interact under positive circumstances, and encourage neighbors to get to know one another. Look for National Night Out or NNO events around the state and around the country if you're not in Wisconsin. Here are two we're aware of. In Juneau County, there's one at Lions Park, 901 West Harvey Street in Nisida, from 4 to 8 p.m. And in Florence County, at NWTC in Aurora, from 4 to 7 p.m. Details at exploreflorencecounty.com. Again, these events are coming up next Tuesday, August 4th. Ojibwa Bowhunters in New Berlin has two events coming up at their location on South Johnson Road. This Saturday, July 25th, is their annual Youth Day from 11 to 4. That's the day for most listeners. It's free for kids under 17, but kids must be accompanied by an adult. You'll enjoy archery games, fishing, a BB gun range, and a raffle for great prizes, including a bow and more. Food is available on the grounds. And then next weekend, August 1st and 2nd, is their Founders Day shoot from 8 to 4, both days. Registration is not required for either event. Get details at OjibwaBowhunters.clubexpress.com. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm should be back next week. You get outside this weekend, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.